This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
3 o'clock hour. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scravey, Chris Ello out. Returns tomorrow.
Yes, he does.
Get old Christopher back tomorrow.
Oh, yay. I'm just kidding. It is nice when Chris is here because there's a lot that goes on when Chris is not here.
It does seem to work that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It always seems like all the news is breaking when Chris is gone. When he gets back, he's like, hey, guys, I want to talk about that trade that happened 14 days ago.
It's like, sorry, bro. We already talked about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to move on.
Old news.
We had, some All-NBA news come out. We have... I know you don't want to talk NBA. Spray,
we could talk NBA.
I don't really care
that.
What you want. OKC's up 3-1 in their series. Game 4 tonight in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Pacers looking to take a 3-1 lead. Knicks looking to even it up. That's been the best series of the two.
Yes.
Is that Knicks-Pacers series. All three of those games have been big leads that have shrunk. As my man Jalen Brunson said, no lead is safe in this series, and that has proven to be pretty true.
Jalen Brunson's a really good basketball player.
I like Jalen Brunson. He is the perfect guy in kind of the same way that Steph, but only without the long range. But he's so – little guys are much easier for people to root for because
yes.
They can see they can – well – and I say little guy. I don't know how tall Jalen Brunson actually is. Just on the basketball court, he looks like a little guy. He probably is like 6'2", 6'3".
Oh, you got it, 6'2".
Yeah, so it's just so much easier for people to root for those guys because you can see yourself in them because they appear small on the court.
Yeah, that's why I was a Muggsy Bogues fan. I thought it was awesome when Muggsy Bogues was playing at 5'. What was he, 5'2"?
He was short.
5'3"?
He certainly wasn't 6'2". I know that.
No, he was very short, and then he was in Space
Jam.
He's
a really good player. Really, really good player. Probably doesn't get enough credit for how good he is, especially in the fourth quarter where he seems to be at his best.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Did you see the I think it was over the weekend, what other day they played the last game, Sunday, but the parking for... did you see this? I had to make sure this was real like 100 times because I didn't believe it, but it's real.
I did see it.
One parking company in Indianapolis put up a sign that said $20 parking for Pacers fans, $100 parking for Knicks fans.
My question was how are they going to police that?
Well, you got to believe that Knicks fans are showing up in gear. You got to believe.
True. That's true.
And then they're sitting there and they're like, what? And they try to take off all their gear.
Was that a company or was it? Because I know in Indiana, like, people at their house will set up parking and they can put up a sign and be like,
it looked like
here.
A legit company because it was
did
like,
it?
Okay. It had like a company
tell.
Name on it and everything. But I thought that was hilarious. And then a Knicks fan posted in there, this is just straight up discrimination. And some guy goes, you do have other places that you could go park. You don't have to park there. But I thought that was pretty good troll job.
That was a great troll job. Shout out to the Pacers fans for bringing it. Shout out to Halliburton's dad. He has been reinstated back in. I think that's the right move. The man shouldn't be eliminated forever. But he paid a consequence. He had to miss games 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
And so he'll be back for game. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 2. Yeah, game 1, 2, and 3. Yes.
Yeah, and so, you know what? He did. He paid his time. He paid his
he
time.
Did. He did.
But it's nice
all
to
right,
see him doing
let's
that.
Get to some Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Again, remember, tonight is the military hoodie giveaway sponsored by Soapy Joe's and available to the first 40,000 fans in attendance. Limited tickets are still available at padres.com/tickets. Now, we didn't make any bets last week. We didn't have much to bet on with the shorter shows, but came up with a few here for tonight. Knicks at the Pacers. The Pacers are 3-point favorites, Tony. Who are you going with in this one?
Pacers are 3-point favorites?
They are at home.
Oh, give me the Knicks.
All right. The Knicks.
The Knicks.
I'm going to go Knicks, too.
Yes.
I'm going to go Knicks, too. Because I just feel like, I don't know. I just feel like they're, I don't want the Pacers. If they're going to get a team in the finals, it's got to be the Knicks. Give me the big market team.
Oh, now you're clamoring for a big market. That's how I know you ain't playing. You don't care about basketball. You're just over here just making stuff up. Go ahead.
You know, also, I don't like James Dolan, so forget it. I don't like either team anymore. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Which player do you think, Tony, is going to score the most points tonight? Jalen Brunson is the favorite, and then Carl Anthony Towns is the second favorite. But if you have a name, I can give you odds on them. Tyrese Halliburton, plus 550. Pascal Siakam.
Give me Cat.
Okay, Cat's been pretty good lately. He's at plus 500. So, with Halliburton's dad back in the building, I'm going Tyrese Halliburton. He's going to put on a show, and that's plus 550 for that one. To the Padres game tonight. Padres are favored over the Marlins, minus 1.5 on the run line. I'm up first.
So they got to win by two.
Steven Kolek is starting tonight. These have been such close games lately. I'm going to say the Padres break out tonight. I'm going to say Padres win by at least two. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to say the Padres break out as well. I don't know if I'm going to say breakout. They win by at least two.
Steven Kolek, over under 4.5 strikeouts tonight.
Under,
interesting. I tend to want to go with the guy who's there every single day, but I'll play the contrarian and I'll go over on that one. All right, the last bet that Chris likes to do, and I think I like to do it as well because it's pretty fun. The Marlins pitcher Max Meyer, over under 17.5 outs in his game. How many outs does he get? Does he get over 17.5? Does he get 18 or does he get 16?
So they got him at just 5 and some change.
Yeah,
basically.
5 and some change, yeah.
I'm going to say under.
You're going to say under. I'm going to say under as well. And that's all the bets that I got for today. But I know that Tony didn't watch this.
Didn't I watch, Scrape?
The Indianapolis 500.
I did not watch
it. I knew you weren't going to watch it. Number one, you're on the road. Number two, there was a baseball game happening. And number three, you're not watching the Indianapolis 500. But the Indy 500 is something my family loves. And so I turned it on. But Fox's coverage, this was, I think, the first year of Fox doing the coverage of the Indy 500.
It was a struggle sauce.
It was bad. And it was... It was also like so many commercials, and the yellow flags didn't help either. It was like every time they got going, they would come around the corner, they're waving the green flag, and then someone in the back would crash, and they go wave the yellow flag again. It took forever. But the Indianapolis 500 might be one of those things that I have to do before I die. Did your dad do it? I know he had an affinity for Indiana.
Yeah, he didn't have an affinity for NASCAR or the Indy 500 for that matter.
Okay.
I would say, wait, what was the question?
Is the Indy 500 something you want to go to one day?
No, it's not. I do want to go to Madison Square Garden, though. That is on my bucket list, to watch a game.
I'm surprised you haven't been there.
No, never been there.
Chris has never been there. I've never been there either.
Definitely want to do that one. For
yeah,
sure.
You have to.
Indy 500. I'll ask you guys how it went.
It went great, Tony. It was so amazing. The last time my family went was on my 21st birthday, which was...
Oh, they've gone before.
Oh, yeah. My grandpa went to Indiana. He grew up a Hoosier. My mom grew up going to the Indy 500. It's a big deal in our family.
Wow,
but over the years, it has kind of dwindled a little bit. But these guys, Tony, are going now 240 on the straightaways. They are moving, and they're hitting these corners at 220, holding on like that. That fires me up.
Doesn't fire me up. It makes it's quite boring watching left-hand turns for however many hours that is.
I hate it when people say that. You make a left-hand turn for 4 hours and tell me how tired you are after that.
It does get exciting. You get to the last couple laps, and there's some, drafting and all that kind of stuff out. That part is I can get in that, but that you got to wait for like 300 laps before you get to that.
Yeah, you do. And then all the greens and the yellows and the whites, or not the whites, the reds. Sometimes it's just it. Yeah, whatever. All right. Well, I successfully got us to 312, and that's what my accomplishment or my goal was when I started talking about the Indy 500.
Nice work. That was brilliant. It was sneaky too.
Yes,
I like it.
All right. Tony's going to be back a little bit later in the hour for Padres Pen Pals and the Big Five. But when we get back, I'm going to tell you something about the MLB standings at Memorial Day. ESPN put out an article, and they predicted how many teams in the National League that are in the playoffs right now would make the playoffs at the end of the season. So that's next on Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, sorry about that, everybody. Matt Scraby here in studio, 97.3 The Fan. It is Tony Gwynn Jr. is down listening to Mr. Mike Schilt, the manager of the Padres. He is going to, we're going to hear from him a little bit later. We're also going to check in with Sam Levitt at 4 p.m., which will be nice to hear what he has to say about what Mike Schilt had to say. I'm here with Nick DiNucci. We'll bring in Nick here as the rest of the program goes along. But I would like to say this first. This hour, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by Frozen Rope San Diego. Hey parents, here's a message from Coach Kurt with Frozen Ropes. Is your child 6 to 12 years old? Our Baseball Summer League is the perfect fit for your player starting June 16th through August 17th. Summer League includes 8 practices, 8 games. Go to sandiegofrozenropes.com. That's sandiegofrozenropes.com. All right, before I went to break, I told you about the whole Memorial Day article that ESPN put out. So they pulled 4 of their writers, and they just surprises, letdowns, things like that. And I found the playoff conversation pretty interesting. But I also found this part pretty interesting. It was surprises. And Bradford Doolittle is one of the writers who featured in this article for ESPN. And he said, it's not that the Rockies are surprisingly bad. I'll get to what's surprising. He says this. They're minus 171 in run differential, meaning teams have scored 170 more runs than they have this year. They're on pace to finish more than 50 games back of the fourth place team in their division. They've given up nearly 2 runs for every one that they've scored. But the most stunning stat of all, and this is what I was bringing this up for, the Rockies rank 10th in per game home attendance, although they're last in their division in that area as well, which tells you how many people go to baseball games in the National League West. But they rank 10th in per game home attendance. They have won 8 games, I believe, unless they won yesterday, which I don't think that they did. The Rockies are on pace to be like 18, not maybe not 1899 Spiders bad, but they're on pace to shatter what the White Sox did last year. The White Sox are playing a little bit better this year, but the Rockies this year, they're 9-45. So they've lost 3 in a row, but they have almost got to the double digit mark. But what are we doing in Denver? Like, I don't really want to come down on people for going to baseball games because that's kind of what summer's all about. But it's just, like, why are we going to those games? I don't understand as a fan, like, when people tell me, hey, you got to hold these guys more accountable. You got to make them more accountable. You got to blah, blah, blah. I always say back, the only way to really hold a franchise accountable these days is to not go to games. So what the Rockies fans are telling the ownership of the Rockies, Dick Monfort, that they don't need to change anything. We're still going to come to games. We're still going to pay money at your concession stands. We're still going to do this. We're still going to do that. And if that is the message to ownership, then there's nothing that's going to be changed about that team. It doesn't seem like he cares that his team, Dick Monfort that is, doesn't seem like he cares that his team is one of the worst teams in history right now. All he cares about is getting all those people into that stadium, buying Rockies gear, buying beer, buying hot dogs, all of that stuff. And that's a problem. I didn't think there would be a day where I disliked Dick Monfort more than I disliked John Fisher. They're neck and neck. But, you know, John Fisher, he's probably being forced to spend some money, but at least he is spending money. Their whole situation in Sacramento is not going well either. I was talking about it last week that some fans are very upset that some fans are pretty upset that they bought season tickets and now they're seeing people buy tickets that are cheaper than their season tickets. And my answer to that is you probably shouldn't have bought season tickets because you didn't know what was going to happen. If it was like a team like the Red Sox, you know that season tickets sell and tickets sell for the Red Sox. But anyway, it's quite disappointing, I would say, that the Rockies are still the 10th, ranked 10th in Major League Baseball in per game home attendance. But what I really wanted to get to was of the 6 current National League playoff teams, they were asked how many will be there in October. And so here are the 6 current National League playoff teams. And this was as of last night, and I don't think anything's changed. The Phillies have the best record in the National League. Then it goes the Cubs. They are a division leader. And then the Dodgers are the West leader. Then the wild card teams, you got the Mets, you got the Padres, you got the Giants, and then you got the Cardinals 1 game back of the Giants, and you got the Diamondbacks 4 games back of the Giants. So what the writers, and by the way, I want to point this out, we played a clip of John Kruk a couple weeks ago talking about the Phillies slide, the 4 game slide, and how are they going to make it out of this? And John Kruk kind of laughed and he was like, yeah, we only got 100 games or more to make it out of this. Well, the Phillies have won 9 of their last 10, so it's plenty of time for them to make it to the playoffs because they're leading all of the National League right now. But the Phillies, so the writers said that 5, and these are all respectively, 5 teams will make it currently, 4 current teams will make it, 5 current teams will make it, and then all 6 current teams will make it. None of these writers said that the Padres are going to slide out of the playoffs, which I thought was kind of interesting because it is a hot topic to say that the Padres are going to slide out of the playoffs. And those writers basically think that the Giants don't have the staying power and the Diamondbacks don't have the staying power. Some of them believe that the Cardinals are going to be able to play themselves into a wild card spot because it will be hard for them to catch the Cubs throughout a full season, although they're only, I think, 3 games back of the Cubs right now. But a lot of these writers don't think the Giants are going to hang on for as long as they can because of their pitching, and some just think that the Diamondbacks are showing who they are right now, which they are 500, and they're 4-6 in their last 10. Now, the Padres aren't any better in their last 10. They're 3-7, but they won all those games in the beginning, which helped a ton for their record right now at 30-22. But I did think that it was kind of interesting that there was not much movement in the National League playoff race, according to some of these baseball writers, on Memorial Day. And that just shows you, I guess, that the NL is maybe very top heavy. They also have the Reds listed. I think the Reds are kind of a scary wild card team, and wild card not actually being a wild card team, but they could be a team that just comes out of nowhere and tears up the second half, because they have a lot of good young players that can do some stuff, like Ellie De La Cruz. They got, you know, Matt McClain. They have Hunter Green. They got a lot of guys that can you know, produce at a very, very high level. But for you, Nick, out of the and Nick DiNucci is with me in studio here today. Nick, out of those 6 teams, the Phillies, the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Mets, the Padres, and the Giants, which team do you think is going to be a team that drops out?
Repeat that. Repeat those one more time.
Phillies, Cubs, Dodgers, Mets, Padres, and Giants.
It's a good question. I would think, I'd say the Cubbies.
You would think the Cubs are going to drop out. They're playing really well right now.
Right now, though, but I just feel like, I mean, I don't know. Then again, the Giants, too. I'm thinking automatic Dodgers are in. And then you said, I'm liking the Dodgers and Phillies are going to get in there.
Dodgers and Phillies, okay.
That's kind of automatic. In my opinion, that's automatic.
And do you think that you don't think the Mets have any chance at the East title?
What is the Mets' record right now? I actually don't
33-21.
Damn. Okay, a little bit better than I thought.
Yeah, they're a lot better than everybody thinks. They've been playing pretty well, but they've went 5-5 in their last 10.
I would still think, just my gut says Cubs and Mets, because they can be like they're doing well right now, but they strike me as kind of inconsistent when they get to that crunchy moment in the end. That's just my sense.
The Cubs did a couple years ago have a playoff spot and play themselves out of a playoff spot, which, you know, was not great, but
right.
I would think that the Giants have to be the biggest prove it to me.
I think, especially with I feel like they're young.
They're young. They don't have they don't really have the star power, and they're pitching outside of like Logan Webb.
Right. There's not much depth there.
Yeah, there's not much depth there with their pitching. So we'll see if the Giants can hang on. But the National League West is just one of those divisions that is really, really good, and it's one of those divisions that the Padres, you know. People keep telling me, the Padres are falling off. They're still right there. They're still 30-22. They're just maybe a game and a half back of the Dodgers right now. And they're 2 games back of the Dodgers right now.
If they hadn't won all those games in the beginning, it'd be a different story. But because they did so well right off the bat, I think they kind of gave themselves that ability to kind of make the mistake. It's better they go through this now. Then wait till August, September.
You never want to peak in May. You want to peak in August, September. And if the Padres are, you would have told me 52 games into the season. If you were to tell me that they would be 2 games behind the Dodgers 52 games into the season, I would have called you a liar, because I wouldn't have believed it. And it would, I just wouldn't have believed it. The Dodgers were one of those teams where I came into the year thinking there's no way that they lose the National League West. There's no way that a team contends in the National League West. But as of right now, 52 games in, the Padres and the Giants are definitely fighting in the National League West. The Diamondbacks have slipped, so that's good to see. And it's very good to see. And also, the Padres have a very friendly schedule this week. They get the Marlins for the next 2, and then they have at the end of the week. By the way, I looked up some of the things or some of the pitching matchups for the Pirates and the Padres. It looks like Paul Skeens is going to miss the Padres again. So
they've been getting unlucky with not seeing him, not matching up against
them. No. They've been getting unlucky, because I want to see Jackson Merrill against Paul Skeens.
If
Major League Baseball knows what they're doing, they would make Paul Skeens maybe move back a little bit. But it seems like he's ducking the Padres. every...
It does. It's starting to get a little fishy because it's been so many times where he hasn't been starting against us. So
they
it's a little strange.
They can't put the Rookie of the Year up against the real Rookie of the Year. Come on now. Come on now.
Do you know if that sign is still... What was it? The 54? That sign was on the 54?
I don't know if it was the 54, but it's not there anymore.
Yeah, I noticed it wasn't, because I saw it once.
Meryl Mania.
Tried to take a picture of it, couldn't get it because I was on the bus. It wasn't.
I was going to say.
But then I think I didn't notice it again when I tried to look for it the next time.
So I was going to say, you shouldn't be taking pictures, but you're on the bus, so.
I was not driving. Don't worry. I wouldn't be doing that.
All right, good stuff. Matt Scraby filling in, Gwen and Chris. Chris is going to be back tomorrow. Tony is down listening to Mike Schilt. We're going to talk to Sammy Lev at 4 p.m., but when we get back, we have Padres Pen Pals. And let me tell you, I got a very angry DM after Ronald Acuna Jr. hit the home run on Friday night, and we will try and get through this guy's comments. So Padres Pen Pals when we get back here, 97.3 The Fan. All right, back here, Odyssey Palace, 97.3, The Fan. Matt Scraby filling in for Chris Ello, who's going to be back tomorrow. It's kind of a crazy thing back here, I got to tell you. I'm all over the place. Got my guy Nick DiNucci with me here today. So if you see someone who does not look like Chris or Tony in the camera, that would be Nick DiNucci. You can also watch us on YouTube. If you did not know, you can go to 97.3, or go to YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan. You'll find it there, also on Facebook and Twitter, 97.3 The Fan. Before we get to our Padres pen pals, we have a lineup. Batting lead off, playing right field, Fernando Tatis Jr. Luis Arraez back at first base, batting second. Manny Machado batting third, playing third. Merrill back in the cleanup spot, playing center field. Gavin Sheets DHing. Bogey, shortstop, batting sixth. Jake Cronenworth batting seventh, playing second base. Diaz batting eighth, playing catcher. And then you got Wade playing left field. Tyler Wade playing left field, batting ninth. And you got Stephen Kolek pitching for the Padres. I've thought Stephen Kolek has been pretty good so far this year. Like, did not expect for him to be as good of a starter as he has been. And Stephen Kolek, he is making a case for why he's going to stay in this rotation for a while. Because, you know, we have the whole Michael King injury that happened, and he's on the IL, and Yu Darvish, no one really knows where Yu Darvish is, or where Yu Darvish is at with his recovery. I thought he may have been there for Toronto, but he wasn't there for Toronto, and he wasn't there in Atlanta, so maybe it's coming up soon. But we have, in Padres Pen Pals, whenever traffic is ready, Nick, we'll go right to it. But Tony and I are going to talk to a couple. Okay. Tony and I, we got a lot of different things. Now I know when the guys go, stop giving me hand signals. I know. I get it now. I get it now because it's kind of crazy. But we're going to talk about an angry tweet. We're going to talk about Tati struggling. A pretty interesting trade proposal brought up by someone from East Village Times. So we're going to get some traffic, and then Tony will be back with us for not the Big Five, Padres Pen Pals.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Aww. Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, so we got a mixed bag this week of Padres Pen Pals topics because it was bad before they went to Atlanta, and then they went 2 of 3 in Atlanta, and then they take a game last night against the Marlins, so they've won 3 out of their last 4, so we got a couple different opinions here. Let's get into this first one that came in to me on Friday. So it was like right after Acuna hit his home run on the first pitch in Atlanta. So I can you can imagine where this is going. Like, didn't even wait for the game to get over. Just went for it. First, if you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's. For authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla, for dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. All right, here it is. You guys are an absolute joke. And the more you say you aren't being told what to say about this absolute waste of a team, the more I think you guys are being told what to say. Team has lost six in a row, and now even a guy who hasn't played all year hits a homer with the first pitch that I saw. I'm done listening to your show. I'm done listening to a station that can't tell the truth. If this team has a 500 record by the All-Star break, that would be a miracle. Keep spreading lies, guys. I won't be listening. My my thought is you're probably still listening because that's what hate listeners do. But there's no real question here, Tony.
No, clearly.
He doesn't want to hear
what we have to say.
I would say, and I said this after you were gone on Friday, I'm done with people telling me that this team is not a 500 team. I'm done with people telling me that this team doesn't care. I'm done with people freaking out after Acuña pitch.
Would we still be able to put together a PPP if we ignored these people?
Yeah, but it would be too like nice and fun and light.
Okay,
and
fair enough. I don't think there's anything to say. I think that kind of speaks for itself. This man is – the Padres ended up winning that game, by the way.
Yes, they did. And I got back to him. I said
– What did you say, Scream?
I said, bring that energy. I said, basically –
keep that same energy, buddy.
Yeah, but I used a couple extra words like, I don't need you to listen. Get the F out. Thing. Like, get out of my DMs. That's what I said. I was furious. Furious with that DM.
Scravy has finally had enough. He is no longer turning the other cheek.
I'm firing off. I even went back to look and see what time the DM was sent, what time Ronald Acuña hit the home run, and it correlated, and I knew why he wrote it. So
that's funny.
All right, here's a real one, or like a one that wants some feedback from us. Toddy is struggling, and I keep hearing and seeing, mostly from fans, that he is sad, and something is happening in his life, and that's why he's struggling. I have a hard time believing his off-the-field happenings would directly impact the slump this long. So, Tony, do you think off-the-field stuff could be a reason for his slump?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, we all got something we got dealing with, and I tend to believe he's sad because he's not playing well.
That makes
sense.
It's not
the other way. Like, something happened outside, now that's taking his joy away, and I think he enjoyed, you know. I mean, who wouldn't enjoy being in an MVP conversation after the first months of the season?
Right.
And I'm sure he enjoyed hitting homers and doing all the stuff he was doing. Baseball is fun when you're having success. Baseball sucks when you're, you know, getting the ball shoved down your throat. And, you know, based on how he has played here as of late, he's struggling a little bit. And I think that has far more to do with him not I'm not even gonna address what has just been happening.
I'm having a conversation.
clearly.
Yes, the light is on. I'm on the air. What do you want?
Jeez.
Anyway.
I lost my train of thought.
No, it's all good. You said what you needed to say, which is, yeah, maybe it could be, but it's also, you know, it stinks to play bad. No one wants to play bad.
Yes.
No one wants
to play bad. I was sad every time I sucked, and that was a lot.
I don't think it was a lot, but
it was a lot.
You know who I was? I was talking to someone over the weekend, and I think it was our boss Adam last week, and he was saying how sometimes his son is like, "Oh, Dad, I went 0-3," and I'm like, "You just need to hit him with the Tony Gwynn Senior and Tony Gwynn Junior story of when he went like 0-4 and he's still hitting 370, and boom, it's like, son, I suck." And you're like, no, you don't. You're hitting 370. You're hitting 370. It's fine.
Sometimes you need to tell yourself, I suck. There's nothing wrong with it. Now you can move on and try not to suck anymore.
All right. I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start doing that.
Could you do it out loud when I'm around just so I can hear you say it?
I'm not going to suck anymore. All right, I like this question. It's interesting. Which team do you think the Padres right now are closer to? The team that started 14-3 or the team that is 16-19 since? And I'm going to steal the thunder right now, and I'm going to say it's somewhere in the middle. Because...
Good answer.
They're definitely not a 14-3 team, but that 16-19 record is there's a few things in it that aren't being told, like injuries that happened throughout that entire time. They lost. Why am I forgetting Jackson Merrill's
Arise, name? Cronenworth, Merrill.
Yeah, they lost Merrill for a month. They lost Cronenworth for like a month. They still don't have Yu Darvish. So things like that. Like I think they're somewhere in the middle towards the good side. What about you?
What are they now? 30-22
I don't know what's going on. Like some people keep coming to the window asking me for help, and I'm like, I'm doing something. If need to go back and watch the YouTube because I literally just went like, get away from me.
They are 30-22 I think that's probably more what they are. You know, I think that puts us right in between. So basically, I'm saying the same thing you're saying.
Yeah.
Is that they're 14-3 is a crazy pace.
Yeah.
But 30-22 seems about right where they are, considering all the things that they have. I think this is more of kind of the team they can be, and see what happens from here.
You know, 30-22 is pretty good for an absolutely trash team that. Yeah. Our first person.
So that would put the next. What was that? That's 30-22. That's 52 games. Another 52 games. That would be 60-44.
You've lost me. Oh, I see what you're doing.
You know what I'm doing. You know I'm just. Oh. Adding.
I mean they're like on pace to win like what 90 games, 85 to 90 games, maybe more
bit
than
above that.
Yeah. All the math people out there are like, you guys are dumb.
You dummies.
Hey, that's why Tony played professional baseball and I ended up just talking for a living, okay?
Oh my god. Me and Jesse were doing math the other day on air and it didn't go all that well either.
Final one. And here comes a trade proposal brought to you by @GregHoadley on Twitter. He's from the East Village Times. And he put out this trade proposal and it got a lot of traction, so I wanted to bring it to the show. It's with the Orioles. And so the Padres are going to trade away Ethan Salas, Randy Vasquez, Wandy Peralta, Brandon Lockridge, Isaiah Lowe, and Boston Bateman for Adley Rutschman, Cedric Mullins, and a lower-level prospect. Well, I guess I'm going to go to you first, Tony, because you're up first. Would you make that trade, or do you think the Orioles laugh in the Padres' face?
Give it to me again.
It's a lot of Padres. Salas, Vasquez, Peralta, Lockridge, Isaiah Lowe, and Boston Bateman. And then Padres get Adley Rutschman, the catcher, and Cedric Mullins, an outfielder, and the lower-level prospect.
No shot.
I agree.
Adley Rutschman has how many years of control?
He's got two
him?
More.
Two more years of control. You get Cedric Mullins. You can put it in left. And who was that?
A low-level prospect. Yeah, I mean... Seems like Padres are giving away too many people.
Yeah, I don't know. I hate the guesswork on this stuff.
Yeah. I just think from the Orioles' perspective...
I think it's too early for their perspective to be just shipping off somebody like Adley. I know he just hasn't played well last year and some change, but...
And Ethan Salas... He is a good name.
He's hurt right now.
Yeah,
too,
he's hurt. Why? You know, there's a lot of. I always ask, would the other team take it? It's not about if the Padres would take it. Would the other team? And I don't think that they would because Adley Rutschman is a building block of their entire team. So Cedric Mullins has been on that team forever, too. All right. That is it for Padres Pen Pals. All right, so this is not the, you know, spiciest Padres pen pals in the world. Are you kidding me? Those were just the easy ones that I did, that I was able to put onto the Padres pen pals. And I'm trying to Run the YouTube at the same time. I'm sorry, everybody. There we go. The trade proposals, I like trade proposals, but I'm not a fan of trade proposals that don't really take into account what the other team might say about it. Because the trade proposals are great, and it's fun to talk about, and I'm a big fan of those trade proposals because it's like, it's fun to imagine it. But I don't think the Orioles would ever get rid of Adley Rutschman. Well, let me start that over. They would get rid of Adley Rutschman if the price was right, but he's someone that you build around. And then on the Padres side, Ethan Salas, I wonder what we don't know about him. Like Tony said, that he is injured right now. He's probably not going to be back until June. So there's that. Randy Vasquez has been really good. Why? I don't understand why Randy Vasquez would be a part of this deal when you're not really getting a pitcher back. Yeah, I mean, the lower level prospect could be getting a pitcher back. I mean, I like Cedric Mullins. Adley Rutschman's only under control for the next 2 years. And quite honestly, he hasn't been the same player he was when he was his rookie year. He has struggled since then. And so Adley Rutschman, although I love the guy, and I think a switch hitting catcher who is able to hit for power at times is very interesting, and I would like to bring someone like that in. But I don't know that I would do it only for those 2 years that he has left on his team deal. He has two more years of arbitration. He's making $5.5 million this year. I just don't think that plays into the Padres' plans for any of this. And like Wandy Peralta, I'm fine with Wandy Peralta being in a trade. It has nothing to do with his performance as of late, but I do think you can find relief. And that would be relatively easy to replace. I really like Brandon Lockridge. Now, am I going to keep him on the team just because I really like Brandon Lockridge instead of getting Cedric Mullins in there? No, I want to see, because I don't think that Cedric Mullins is on the upside of his career. I think he's a good player, but I think that he's a player that you're not going to see his best years. And you're giving up on a guy like Brandon Lockridge, who's young and who has still a lot of control over his contract. And so Brandon Lockridge right now is a major league ready player. So I would not trade major league ready players right now. The Padres don't have enough depth of major league players to make this trade. What you got, Nick?
It just makes me think of the Nico Harrison fiasco with Luka. And it's a different sport, but still you're trading away something that you think, like, you're trading away one of the best players ever for not that great of a haul in return. I'll put it gently. You want to make sure you get the good haul. That was the real travesty with Harrison. He just got not a good trade back for Luka.
Yes, and people were very angry about it. I mean, I don't think anybody in baseball would be angry about something like this. And let me again say, I'm not, like, trashing the idea of this trade. I think it's interesting. I do. The players that the Padres had named in it were the ones that made me want to bring it to Padres pen pals, because like you got three out of the, let's see, 3 out of the six are major league players right now. And Ethan Salas, we know he's good, but we don't know how good he is. So, and Randy Vasquez, I think he's pitched well enough for me to give him a little bit of grace and say that he should not be a part of this trade. All right, that's Padres Pen Pals. Gwynn and Chris, I'm Scraby, filling in for Gwynn and Chris. Tony's going to be back for the Big Five at 4:40 p.m., but when we get back, our guy, Sammy Lev from Petco Park, will join us, give us an update on how things are going on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.